In the last 48 hours or so, it's launched yet more short-range missiles, which apparently landed safely in the Sea of Japan. But yesterday, it ratcheted up the pressure even more by threatening to launch an attack on its neighbour, South Korea, after the government in Seoul decided that it would take part in a US-led mission to inspect North Korean vessels that it suspects of carrying weapons of mass destruction. Now, Seoul had balked at the invitation to join this initiative. It's been around for some time, but obviously the events on the Korean Peninsula over the last few days have persuaded it that it's time that it also joined in international efforts to increase the pressure on the North.
And what about the restarting of the reactor?
Yeah, so this is in the long term an even bigger cause for concern. There are reports mainly from officials from the South Korean Defense Ministry carried in the South Korean media that North Korea has restarted, or at least is preparing to restart, its biggest nuclear reactor, its nuclear plant, the Yongbyon nuclear plant, which it had started to dismantle in 2007 after the six-party nuclear talks looked like they were making some progress. There'd been a deal whereby North Korea would receive massive amounts of aid in return for dismantling its main reactor. It then threatened to restart the reactor last month after the UN condemned its long-range missile launch. Remember, in early April, it launched a Taepodong-2 long-range ballistic missile. It claims it was a satellite, but the rest of the world believes it was really a missile test. And after it was condemned for doing that, it said that it was going to walk away from the six-party talks, conduct another nuclear test, and restart its plutonium extraction program. And it seems to have done all three now.
What's the significance of North Korea saying it's no longer going to be bound by the armistice? Is that just a dispute between North and South Korea, or is this meant for international consumption?
Well, strictly speaking, it's a dispute between North and South. But as history's told us, any dispute involving the Korean Peninsula tends to draw in other regional powers. So that is a cause of concern. It could be just another slice of belligerent rhetoric from the North Koreans. They've threatened to attack the South on several occasions before over the last few years. It's never happened. They're aware of what the consequences of doing that might be. But I think, as far as I know, this is the first time that it's mentioned that it no longer wants to abide by the conditions of the armistice that ended the Korean War in 1953. But, again, I think as far as North Korea is concerned, a lot of this rhetoric could, of course, it's designed to catch the interest of the West, particularly President Obama, but it's also designed for domestic consumption. As my colleagues have written in The Guardian over the last few days, Kim Jong-il's been unwell. He was thought to have suffered a stroke last summer. There's a lot of speculation about who will succeed him as leader of North Korea. And this, again, might just be just another way of letting the Korean generals in the military, hardline military, know exactly who's in charge.
So is there any real way to know how much of this is rhetoric and how much of this should awaken our sense of danger?
I think for now it's probably rhetoric, as I mentioned, designed for domestic consumption. There have been threats to attack South Korea before. They've never materialized because, of course, North Korea knows of the grave consequences of doing that. But there are some facts that are confronting the world now and that do spell a certain degree of danger, both for the region and for the rest of the world. And those are plain to see. They're the nuclear tests that occurred on Monday, the launch of several short-range missiles, the knowledge that the world has that Korea has medium-range and long-range missile technology as well, and, of course, the restarting of its plutonium reactor.
One more question. South Korea is undoubtedly used to this sort of saber-rattling, but how is all this going over in Tokyo, where you're reporting from?
Well, Japan has more reason than most to be particularly worried about any sort of military activity on the Korean Peninsula, particularly in the north. It's within range of much of North Korea's missile arsenal. It's had long-range missiles fly over Japanese territory about 10 years ago. Of course, there was a great deal of concern early in April when Korea launched its North Korea launched its most recent long-range missile test. So there's a great deal of pressure on the Japanese government, first of all, to increase sanctions, bilateral sanctions against North Korea. That will probably be a matter of time. There's certainly a groundswell of support among Japanese voters for that kind of action. But it's also a member sits on the Security Council. So there'll be pressure on Japanese leaders to really make their case more forcefully this time in New York. The last time the Security Council met, last month after the ballistic missile launch, it didn't really show its teeth. And of course, the Security Council ended up stopping some way short of a proper statement and instead just issued a rather weak condemnation of the missile test. So this time, I think it's going to be incumbent on the Japanese to really put pressure on the US administration and for the US administration in turn to try this time to get China and Russia on board and come up with something rather stronger in terms of condemnation this time.